Well, welcome everyone. Thanks very much for coming tonight. Small group here, so obviously keep us pretty informal. I do have a presentation, relatively brief. I'll run through that, but along the way, please stop me with any questions or anything you want to discuss further. Yeah.
What's your name?
You thought I was going to forget, didn't you? But I wasn't. My name is Dan. Dan Zweifach. I'm from Google. I work on the Google Wi-Fi team. So I'm helping out here in San Francisco, and I also have been working a lot with the project that we've done up in Mountain View, where we've wired the city of Mountain View so everybody can enjoy free wireless access there. So I'll reference some of our experience there along the way. And I also want to introduce Stephen Salinger from Earthlink, who's kindly flown up from down south to join us today, and has a lot of experience in a lot of the projects that Earthlink has done, Wi-Fi networks across the country. So Stephen will definitely be jumping in and answering questions and chatting with you as well as we go along. So with that, again, I want to thank you for coming. We'll get started, and please stop me at any time. So why are we here? Well, basically, want to tell you about the proposal that Google and Earthlink have made for free Wi-Fi across the city of San Francisco. Hear your ideas, your questions, your feedback about our proposal and some of the things we're going to talk about here tonight. And lastly, tell you a little bit about how we've been working with the city and council, the city and counties of the city, and get into a little information about kind of where things stand in terms of the negotiation process and the approval process, etc. So, at a high level, what are we talking about? We're talking about free wireless internet access across the city of San Francisco. And what that would mean is that from a laptop, PDA, anything with any wireless capable device, you could directly connect to this network for free. And you'd also be able to get a stronger signal inside your house, making it a little bit easier to pick up the signal by purchasing some simple hardware. We're called a Wi-Fi modem, and we can talk about that in a little bit more detail later. But basically, with just your normal computer, you should have no trouble getting onto the network. Generally speaking, outside or in areas with very strong signals, and in some cases inside, a lot of cases inside from your house, you might need a little help to pull in the signal, at least we found elsewhere, and that's where what we call Wi-Fi modems come into play. And well, so it's a question of whether you can receive the signal or not. And then in some cases, it may also be if the connection's not that good, you may find slower speeds as well. So it's a question of, you know, have you used a wireless network before with your computer? Or?
No, not really.
So the comparison there would probably be in terms of speed. Because with DSL, obviously, you're wired in your house. So the issue of receiving a signal isn't quite the same. We're receiving, with this service, we'd be receiving a signal over the air. So the strength of the signal, just in that sense, is probably more comparable to think about in terms of a TV signal or a radio signal. You know, in some cases, you get a strong picture of an over-the-air antenna. In some cases, you don't. So that's the strength of receiving issue. Part of your question is probably also about the speed of the service and how, assuming you're able to get a good connection, the speed would compare. And generally, our service would be much faster than 56K dial-up today and probably a little bit slower than most of the high-speed cable or DSL services that you're getting from SBC or AT&T or Comcast.
Is the max speed only one?
Yes, so there's a couple of different options. And what are the speeds that you would expect?
Well, Faraday would be the free service. And then there's a premium service that's 1 meg up and down.
So
one
meg.
Well, again, you get a free service that you wouldn't have to pay for that you could use. What's that?
That one would be free
Well, I think it depends on what you're planning to use it for. If you're planning to use it for a lot of the downloading of video or music, 300K might be slow. That's why we're offering a premium service for users who want some more speed. But for routine applications, again, it's quite a bit faster than DSL or than dial-up. And in some cases, we'll approach the speeds that you're probably getting from your DSL provider today.
The advantage of this is a little traction. Yes, if only the DSL to get the high speed, but if you go downtown, if you work downtown, or you're visiting downtown, or you're working for the coffee shop, all of this is going to be able to get a premium tier of service. A lot of people will buy this as a value-added service. In addition to the cable, they have at home, high speed or SO cable or DSL at home, they'll want to take advantage of the service when they're away from the laptop to go downtown. I don't know, to the park or anywhere else.
So you can use the free service regardless of what you have at home, and there are also some options for you to use the network at home if you choose. Yeah, we've got actually pretty wide, a pretty broad group of folks in Mountain View who've been using it. Some residents who didn't really have internet access before, or were using dial-up internet access before, now using this as their exclusive, using Google Wi-Fi, Mountain View as their exclusive service, and have been happy with it. We also have sort of very technologically advanced folks who are probably keeping their home service, wired service, whatever they have, Comcast, AT&T, but have been using the network, say, in the park or when they're walking down Castro, the main drag in Mountain View, and, or from a coffee shop outside there in downtown Mountain View. So we've kind of gotten both groups using it. Any other questions about kind of the high level of the talking about? Yes? So sure, the hills and buildings and trees and all the things that you're used to potentially interfering with a cell phone signal or with a TV radio signal, what have you, are definitely issues for a Wi-Fi network as well. That's why it's good that Google and Earthlink come with a lot of experience in building these sorts of networks, because you do have to do a lot of testing. You do have to understand the local topography and build your network around that. It's not to say that some of those things won't definitely be challenges for the network, but our goal is to bring this service to everywhere in the city, and that includes dealing with the various geographical features that may get in the way.
But I think it's realistic to assume, by the way, it's an excellent question. Building on a Wi-Fi network is going to be like the early days of cell phones. There's challenges we had. There were dead spots. You couldn't still use service in certain areas. You couldn't make your own providers. And I don't want to sugarcoat anything. Yes, you're going to have these issues as you build on networks. You do have these issues. But we address the issues, and we have smart network engineers working for us, working with the experts, who can go and identify solutions. When you see dead spots, then you get to use the network and go to that. If you don't know, you're going to use that pocket.
And there, and you know, to continue that, there are other challenges like where can we actually put up the hardware we need. So in Mountain View, for example, we have coverage over the vast majority of the city now, but there are still some gaps. And so, you know, because there are either challenges of geography or ability to find a place to actually put the hardware we need for the network. So that's the kind of thing that improves over time, even after the network launches.
So they mostly running the pipe.
Yep. So if you're within line of sight, you'll have a strong signal in most cases. It doesn't mean that if you can't see the network, you won't get a signal. But it depends on the various features, the trees, the buildings, etc. That's why I reference the Wi-Fi modems, because if you're not very close to a node, the Wi-Fi modems are essentially a much stronger antenna and will do a better job of pulling in the signal. So here's an example that we've seen in the city or in Mountain View so far. If you get a strong signal, say just using your computer right outside of your house, for instance, you may not get a signal inside your house because of the walls and the construction, etc. We found in Mountain View, I've seen this in a lot of cases, if you use one of these Wi-Fi modems to pull in the signal, you'll be able to get it from inside your house, as an example. So
the nodes have to be moving how far?
I think it's hard to give a specific number because it depends so much on if you give any kind of
it. It goes about 1,000, 1,200 square feet. That's how it is.
That's correct.
1,200
linear.
Then you've got to put in 1,000 and more than one.
Sure, it depends on your hardware, and the reason I don't think we can say it's always that range because what other features are in the neighborhood are going to depend how smart that signal is.
No, that there's networks being built out in the winter and spreading and exposed to all the roots of leaves in the ground. And propagating that the nature of radio waves and frequency as opposed to all the technology building. And so I mean, not a technologist. But there are issues that deal with that for any technology.
It's a good question. So hopefully that helps clarify a little bit, and we'll do a lot of testing on it. I just want to kind of illustrate briefly how the network works. And essentially, it's using something that's called wireless mesh technology. And what that means, and these are actually pictures from down in Mountain View, you can see these boxes are mounted on the top of lampposts across the city. And those devices are the things that actually send out the wireless signal and that you're receiving on the other end of your computer or the Wi-Fi modems, as I've talked about. And one of the cool things from a technological standpoint there is that each of those radios communicates with each other, and that's where the wireless mesh piece comes in. And so that means that individually, not all of them need to be connected to the internet, which is a benefit in terms of making this network scalable and possible to deploy across a large city like San Francisco. So that's one of the cool things about this. And again, you're receiving a signal from that lamppost to your computer, to your Wi-Fi modem, using the standard wireless technology, 802.11b. And what happens is that every once in a while, 1 in 7 or so, depending, of those Wi-Fi nodes, as we call them, are actually connecting back to the internet wirelessly via a base station. And then from there, they connect to a wire network.
So it says that you need energy for
the
wireless part, or do you have a laptop that's over 3 years old where that can stand your equipment?
You can get a wireless card. Wireless cards now are pretty inexpensive from the 50s. Yes?
Just one quick question.
Sure.
How far do these wireless have to be if they can move exactly on top of the electrons to get the radio signal from? How far do they have to be?
How far?
In other words, can it go from 8 watts to 15 watts, or the distance? How many do you need per neighborhood?
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying?
So we talked about that number of about 1,000 linear feet in each direction. So that's kind of a rough guideline, but again, we may put it closer if, for instance, there's challenging features in the neighborhood, like a lot of hills or big buildings that may require the nodes to be closer together.
36 to 40.
That's a good question. So this slide is just a couple of examples of the way we think Wi-Fi could potentially make our lives here in San Francisco easier and more enjoyable. Using it in Chinatown Park, you could make an international internet call, which is something you certainly can't do today. Lounging in Golden Gate Park and downloading music or just surfing the web. If you're stuck outside a Muni stop and you know want to know when the heck the bus is coming, then you can check pretty easily the Muni schedule by just using the wireless service, which is something you couldn't do today with your standard computer. And you can also simply use it to get online and do the things that a lot of us enjoy online, but not everybody in San Francisco is online or has access to. So an example of that would be just simply logging on and paying your utility bill online instead of having to mail it in.
What type of security issues you got?
Sure, that's a good question. So this like most wireless, well, like most wireless networks is
and WAP and stuff.
Sure. So the network itself, it's an open wireless network, so not inherently secure. So what we recommend, what we will recommend, and what we recommend in the areas we've already done these networks is that you use a VPN, virtual private network client, to encrypt the information that you send back and forth on the internet. So in Mountain View is one example, and our intention is to do the same thing here. We offer a free downloadable VPN client to all users of the network. And so with that, your information is in fact secure as it would be the wired network. Certainly, again, without that, we wouldn't recommend using it for secure applications.
What about privacy? So we actually have to comment.
So to log on to the free component of this service, it's pretty simple. It doesn't require that much information. It just requires an email address, username and password. What you're essentially doing is creating a free Google account, which is something that you can use to access Gmail or any other Google services today. So it doesn't require a lot of personal information, and you would need to log in with that in order to get onto the network. And that's the extent of the required information. Now, the premium service that will be offered by Earthlink, again, that's the faster service for a lower cost, about $20 a month. That would require more information because, of course, you're being billed for that service. So as with your internet provider today, it would require billing information, et cetera. Now, both services are going to be covered by some comprehensive privacy policies that Google and Earthlink have in place, and you can read both of those now on our websites to get a sense of what the privacy policies are in place that we have. Yes?
One time through the billing for the premium package?
So the premium package would be a monthly fee, about $20 a month, and for that, what you would get is the faster service, which you could access not only in the house, but also anywhere in the city, and you also, as part of that package, I think the current plan would be to get one of these Wi-Fi modems for free included in your monthly fee. Did I describe that?
Yeah.
That's right. And again, you can access the free service with just your normal lines.
I mean, honestly, we view this more as a, you're talking really about DSL and cable higher speed. We view this more as a dial-up replacement for the same price that some people think of dial-up today. Mm-hmm.
These are great questions all around. So on this slide, just kind of showing one of the other things that I think will be cool about the network potentially, which is helping create kind of a place where the community can come together, share information, sort of a much more localized internet experience than you might be getting today. And this is actually a screenshot of our welcome page, landing page that we have up in Mountain View right now. And so it sort of illustrates some of the potential things that we would like to do here in San Francisco, both Google and Earthlink. So, for instance, you can customize this page any way you want to. But we have a default setting, but then you can do whatever you like with it. And some of the things you can add are, for instance, news from the local newspapers, both your neighborhood newspapers, like the Chronicle, etc. You could have local restaurants. You could have the local weather and traffic. Here we have in Mountain View this map module that sort of shows your, the city of Mountain View, and you can search for restaurants and things like that. So that's kind of a cool feature. Another thing is it's very easy with this landing page to create a customized module. So, for instance, if you have a local community group, a nonprofit, say, that you're involved in, it's pretty easy to create one of these modules that could have content information about your group, schedules of upcoming events, and you could share that with folks in your group, folks in the community, and they could add that to their landing page. so they would always be able to see the latest information from your group. So I think there are some cool potential applications, some ways that local communities could potentially stay sort of in better online touch if we had a network like that. So just one of the things I wanted to point out.
And how far are you from actually studying the platform and figuring out who the system links to through which communication?
Well, so again, with the network, as we'll talk about in a little more detail where we are, we don't have approval yet to build this network.
Right.
So that's certainly the first step, and then starting to build out the network. Something like this would absolutely be available when the service launches.
Okay, how do people play the kind of actually aggregating the content for you?
So the short answer is that we'll provide an email address, and we're asking folks to have ideas about anything around the service, including the content, to get in touch with us.
And that person is?
But we'll share the email address to get in touch with you. But to be clear, because I think that's one of the unique features about this, this is a totally customizable page that you can put whatever content you want. In fact, it uses something called the Google Personalized Homepage, which anyone with an internet connection can use. And so all of the so-called modules from that service would be available through this. What we've done in Mountain View, to give you an example, is we've added a folder of local community modules, from, and now we've got the Mountain View High School schedule, we've got a lot of local community groups, the Shoreline Amphitheater up there, the concert schedule, and so there's a folder that says Mountain View, where you can go from this page and you can choose the modules that you want.
And then they're linking through to that.
Yes, and then, that's right, and then it actually would look something like this. It would say Mountain View High School, and then it would have the schedule. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
But
The email address, which is for the team, we haven't assigned a specific person who's doing this yet. It would be the best way to give us some ideas in the meantime. As we get closer to launching, we would probably have a more formal process in place. It's a great question.
What's your launch date?
So it depends. It's pending approval, right? So at the point at which we, and sort of where we are now, is waiting for the Board of Supervisors to vote on the proposal. If we were approved, if and when we're approved by the Board of Supervisors, we think it's probably realistic to say it would take about a year to build the network.
You're 12 to 18 months because one, our negotiations are still ongoing with the city.
Right.
Approve those negotiations by the end of the month.
Okay.
The city's asked for proof of concept. We'll build out an area because the applications, and once we build out that proof of concept, that pilot. That could be up to 6 months. And then you hope to have it looked out probably from the launch date. That would be an initial 12 months ago.
So this is not prototype.
And it's 12 months.
No problem. Okay.
Can you pay for this?
Yes.
No, sorry. Do you want to talk about the
Yeah, basically EarthLink is paying for it. EarthLink and Google are able to do the work. EarthLink is going to build out the network, pay for the network, and the approximate cost of, well, it all depends. Yes, maybe $8 to $10 million to build up the initial network. Another $5 to $7 million to operate the network and upgrade the network.
So what is
So we have a slide on that, but we can talk about it. I mean, I'll talk about what we think's in it for Google, and why sort of the same reasons why we've ended up in Mountain View. One is we do view it as a community outreach project. That's why we're focusing in the areas that most of us work and live in at Google. The second thing is, our mission is to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible. And one of the pieces of that is accessible. And you can't get to the organized information if you don't have internet access or you don't have convenient internet access across the city. So we think that this type of network is a good thing. And we want to be part of a test here in San Francisco and in Mountain View to try it out, to make it work. And I think more access, more availability of internet is obviously a good thing for Google's bottom line. It's not necessarily something we're planning to do everywhere, but we think the combination of local outreach with allowing us to sort of test out this type of network and some of the interesting applications that might be part of it is a benefit both to San Francisco and to Google.
Is there any thought, I mean, if that's really important, is there any thought of trying to
it's a great idea. I mean, I think the most exciting thing about a network like this is that a lot of the possibilities are yet to have even been thought of, let alone realized. So we view this as a starting point. A lot of the sort of basics we're talking about here are great, but I think there are a lot of ideas like that that would ultimately be more exciting still than the things we're talking about tonight. So I really appreciate you mentioning that, and I think there are probably a ton of things like that that we could imagine, and hopefully a network like this would deliver on those sorts of things. Not when we launch, but eventually.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it's very important to point out that you know that they will come. We don't know that. We just went to the internet, search on the internet that exists 10 years ago.
Right.
Now, we don't know what will happen once we build to deploy a network like this. But you need infrastructure in place, and once that happens, we are confident that the entrepreneurial spirit, the crazy American spirit, that someone will. I mean, someone else mentioned to me last week, and you thought that there's going to be someone down somewhere figuring out how they can allow people to vote online. And I address the security issues and education.
I think that would say,
pop up just like, you know, the T-Mobile hotspot or whatever else you're finding now on your local home network, and it will just be another option that you can connect to, exactly right. Yes?
When you start this, did you start in the business sector and then working out to make this?
Not necessarily. I don't think we've planned out exactly how we would roll out the network, but that certainly, I don't think that's an approach that we would specifically take. I think it's just, we want to reach all of San Francisco as quickly as possible. Of course, there might be some areas that we're going to start with wiring first, but we haven't mapped out exactly what that would look like. I think it would probably be more a question of practicality than any specific approach to starting in one area. That's a good question.
You ever use any bigger antennas than the node?
Yeah.
You have super power there.
Yeah, do you want to talk a little bit about that? Component of it, or is that? I don't mean to throw that on you. Sorry.
Go on, Dan. You know that. I'm embarrassed.
Sorry.
Yes. Yes, we will. They're not like the Albero we saw there is for backhaul to our point of presence in San Francisco location, which trying to get today. I don't know if that's where our popular states, but that's really where we all the traffic goes through that point of presence to the internet comes from.
The central one is where?
I'm sure it's either 4 or 7. And it's either 5 or 2 to 4. point of presence here in the city. And we start to, we're probably one building downtown where we have a little on the downtown.
Yeah.
May West or right.
I don't know if you guys have it, but. Yeah.
You know, Dan, better, you can explain it better than I can.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where the current earthquake was. I guess the thing to understand about that would be that that exists today, right? So if you're connected via the wired network that Earthlink, if you have Earthlink wired service today, that's connecting back to the same station. So the difference here is this wireless mesh network is essentially an alternate way to get back to that main gateway.
And we actually have a schematic up here, a couple of slides. Describes the network.
Are you using the Tropos?
Tropos? Yes, that's right. We are using Tropos.
Radio region?
Exactly.
Are there any other alternatives?
Well, there are other competitors in this space. We've used Tropos in Mountain View, and I believe that they're the ones that Earthlink has used in most of the line. So I don't know that final decision has been made here, but we've had good results with them so far.
Yeah, they're the market leader. We're not we're vendor agnostic. You know, we recognize the technology will change and evolve in the next 15 months. So if you're building out a network, whatever the best technical solutions available to you.
That's right. So just want to talk about this slide a little bit, and it's one of the benefits that I think everyone in the city is probably excited about, which is that this is a network that's going to hit everyone in San Francisco. And one thing that we want to do is help it reach and be accessible from a sort of a technology and ability standpoint to everyone in San Francisco. So Earthlink and Google plan to hold training sessions across the city. We've done that, for instance, in Mountain View already, and that's been successful to get people up to speed on how to use this network. And another thing that we've had great success with in the network so far that we'd like to do here as well is partner with local groups, local vendors, local store owners, who may be interested in setting up a business to help people get onto the network. That's been a successful model in Mountain View. It helps residents get up to speed on using a network like this. And actually, Mike is here from the Tech Connect initiative that the city has about making technology accessible to every San Franciscan. And it's a much broader initiative than just the Google and Earthlink Wi-Fi proposal. Maybe if Danny can come up and talk a little bit more about that, sort of where this fits into the larger picture of this question. The last point to make on this slide is just that there'll be access in many different languages. We know that's important to the people here in our city, and Google has 109 languages in our interface now, and we would intend to both make that accessible as well as multilingual training. I sort of hinted at one of the interesting features here is that a community Wi-Fi could bring some new benefits, some new features to neighborhood businesses. So in general, we think that free, affordable access is probably a good thing if you own a local business in one of our neighborhoods. More people can find you, more people can find directions to your location. You also could get free or low-cost internet in your business, either for yourself, for your employees, or for your customers. So, for instance, if you have a small coffee shop and don't have a paid Wi-Fi service now, this would allow you to get a free service so folks could drink coffee and sit in your shop. So there are a lot of little benefits like that. And again, mentioning the sort of hardware, software, technical services folks, we've had a lot of success so far with partnering with small local operators, and we'd like to do the same thing in San Francisco. And also, I think by getting more people online, more people in your neighborhood online, it brings new opportunities for promoting your business, whether that's via the free module that I showed on the landing page or whether it's by localized advertising products, which Google and other companies offer. So this just, we've kind of already gone into this, but just summarizing the two different services that would be available. So there's the free Google Wi-Fi service. Again, that's 300 kbps up and down. faster than 56K modem, generally not quite as fast as a DSL or cable modem connection. That's totally free to use anywhere in the city. And then there's the premium service, which will be offered by Earthlink, and that's 1 meg up and down. And we talked about it, but that's about $20 a month, and that price includes the free Wi-Fi modem to help you access the signal inside your house. Yes?
Do you see the future getting faster?
That's a good question. Once the network is wired, it probably would be hard to increase dramatically the speed, but over time I think the technology is going to change and improve, and I would expect this to ultimately get faster. But it's hard to give an accurate answer, so I wouldn't want to say you should expect anything greater than these speeds on the free or on the premium network. Other questions about that? Well, we also kind of talked about this. You asked so many good questions. We're kind of through a lot of this, but here's where we have been. Sorry, the slides have been a little cut off there on the side. But back in August of last year, of 2005, the city began a 45-day public process to get ideas for the city wireless network. In December of 2005, the city issued a formal request for proposals. Anyone who was interested in putting together a proposal for building a wireless network for the city was invited to do so. It was at that point that Earthlink and Google, actually we had both been kind of thinking about maybe getting involved separately, decided to join forces and make a proposal to the city for a wireless network. And in April 06, they reviewed 6 formal large-scale submissions, and the city decided to go with Earthlink and Google's offer. Then in June of this year, the city began negotiating the terms with Earthlink. And now we're where we are today, which is we're out here talking to you, telling you about a proposal, hearing your ideas, and negotiations continue. And most specifically, in addition to some important pieces that still need to be worked out with the city, we do need approval from the Board of Supervisors in order to move forward with this network. So. Only when that happens will we be able to move forward with the construction.
Why? I don't understand why
Well, it's not so much that the city is putting out money, and let me know if you're going to add here, but we would be, for instance, wiring this network on city-owned property, like the lampposts. So it's not, the city is not not uninvolved in the process. There are a lot of detailed negotiations, and that's why it needs, and we certainly want, the approval of the city's public representatives.
Basically, this is a public-private partnership. The city has that, this network only works if we give them access to the city assets. And we're negotiating the city, well, how much do they charge us, and if they're in the community, if they're on power, when they charge the power. If not all lights in the city are owned by the city, the majority of them are, some of them are in the PG's, also they're in the PG's to build out those areas the city does not have, like Moses. Then we negotiate the city, it's like a franchise. And so we have to agree to pay a certain sum of money to the city in exchange for use of their assets or their credit account. And then they put that money in for whatever they want, for digital inclusion, or it's their money. how do they want to use that money? So.
Yes?
How would this benefit the children that are in high school, grad school, whatever they want to do? How would it benefit to them? What is it?
I think there absolutely would be a huge benefit in that a free wireless signal is available across the city. So anyone who doesn't have internet access today would have a way to get onto the internet. So I think that's a huge benefit for children and their families.
Can't afford a computer, that's giving them a signal is not going to do them any good because they can't afford
sure.
the hardware to get to the signal.
Sure, absolutely. I think Mike can talk about that in a lot more detail. That's why I wanted to emphasize that this is one component. This is the free access component. It's not everything by any means in terms of reaching those who don't have access today, whether students in our schools or families, individuals who can't afford or just don't have internet access today. So it's one piece of that. It's a helpful piece, we think. But it's not everything, and we wouldn't pretend that we're offering every component of it. So Mike will talk about that a little bit more. And actually, we'll finish up, and then you can speak about that. It's a great question.
Where in the electromagnetic spectrum? You're good at answering.
Oh. 2.4 gigahertz. Same spectrum as the large world, very crazy monitors, unlicensed. In fact, all of it is licensed spectrum of 5.8. Well, Jeremy.
Yeah,
but
that's.
So, is there
a computer
for any student?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, there is. There are potential for my students.
Yes.
You better take a stab at it, but do I?
At the potential for interference?
Yeah, there's potential for interference.
Sure.
What would the Tropos know is that they have an intelligent quantum devices with various channels available that do not conflict. And when the radios sense there's conflict from another on that spectrum, it switches to different channels. I'm going to say A, B, and C.
Right.
It's not A, B, and C. It's for simplicity purposes. Let's say there are three distinct channels that do not conflict. So if you have a radio in a certain area where it detects traffic on the A channel, it'll automatically switch over to B. If it detects traffic on A and B, it'll switch over to C. And between radio, that's one of the reasons we chose the Tropos, because it has this intelligence.
Yeah. So I guess the short answer is there's a lot of built-in technology in the network we're building to try to minimize interference, but it definitely will still be out there. You know, when I use my wireless network at home that I have now just wired up, you know, the signal can change whether I've turned on other electronics in the house or cordless phones. And those issues would still apply, but we'll do our best to try to minimize that.
Would the interference go better?
With the wireless signal nothing like that, no. Is it possible that it could have some impact on, say, cordless phone? Maybe, but pretty unlikely. We haven't seen anything like that. This is kind of the finicky signal that tends to be more interfered by local devices in the house as opposed to the other way.
As in the same room or different rooms?
What do you mean, in terms of the strength?
You got a baby bar.
Well, so Here's what I've seen. If you are in a situation where you kind of have a borderline signal and then you have a baby monitor nearby, that could be enough to interfere with the signal. And so you might try moving the baby monitor you'd move your computer to another location as opposed to maybe.
Baby outside.
That's right. Yeah. No, but it's not like, you know, you'd be getting a great signal and then you turn on a baby monitor in your house and suddenly you've no signal. I've never seen that happen.
Well, actually, more realistically, it would be the microwave. When you turn the microwave, sometimes yourself, your handheld phone, you get it. Hold on, okay, hold on. That suit's ready. Nothing about what you're saying. You know, that's the kind of thing that creates.
So we again kind of already talked about this, but I always think it's helpful to just end on the mission statements of our companies to give you a sense of, A, what they are, where we're coming from, and why I think this kind of project is consistent with the mission of both Earthlink, which if you want to add anything to that, you can, and Google, and I mentioned our mission before, and where we think this fits in nicely with what Google tries to do, and this is the statement that our founders, Larry and Sergey, came up with when they founded the company, and it's still something that really all of the efforts and products we do truly relate back to this, and I think this is another example. With that, I just want to give the email address and website, which I've mentioned. For any questions, concerns, comments about this network, we really hope that you'll stay in touch with us for ideas about local content, for any kinds of questions or ideas. That's the address right up there. We'd love to hear from you. We also have a website together, wififorsf.com, that gives some basic information. Today it really has a listing of these community events and some other high-level information about our network, but we plan to continue to use that and update that with the latest information on the network.
Where's the one per month? So obviously you're ahead of the game.
You can see our Mountain View page at wifi.google.com. And on there is our help center with all sorts of questions and information about Mountain View, privacy policy, all that.
I can direct you. All discussions and negotiations are very open. And there's a matrix available at www.sfgov.org. Is it off? Okay, Mike's good. And it's a matrix of 50 or 80 different issues, what we've agreed upon, and what the outstanding issues are. And those will resolve all those outstanding issues between now and the end of the month. And it's specified what all the issues are.
Yeah, literally the weekly notes from the meetings that happen are posted to that page. So you can know as much as we know on the negotiations.
So your sense is that there's nothing that can be worked out?
Well, we're optimistic, but at the same time, I wouldn't make a prediction on how it's going to go. The Board of Supervisors, different folks have different ideas about what makes sense for a network like this, and not everyone is going to be or probably will be supportive of this approach. So we'll see what happens. If it's an approach you agree with, we certainly hope that you'll let your local representative know about it. But it's definitely not a done deal by any means.
Right. And we hope to have negotiations, like I said before. I mean, we won the RFP last day, but we won the right to negotiate a contract with the city, which has to be approved by the Board of Supervisors. There is a strong sentiment amongst at least two, if not more, supervisors that high-speed wireless network should be built, owned, and operated by the city, not by the private sector. It's a legitimate question, and they've directed the budget analysts in the city to investigate, to come up with a proposal, why the city or how the city might do basically what HERC can do as an alternative. We think that by the end of the year, we'll begin in January, the analysts will present that report and its findings to the Board of Supervisors. In all likelihood, the supervisors will vote on whether or not, what direction to take, whether or not they want to investigate it further, whether or not they want to consider that. And we're not certain how that might impact our proposal or our contract. Once we finalize our negotiations with the city, that will be presented before the supervisors for a vote. Whether or not that's derailed or postponed, or that's an issue with the Board of Supervisors. I'm just trying to present the data and the facts as they exist. It's a political reality, and I think it's a legitimate question that the people in San Francisco have the right to determine that, and if you feel strongly one way or another, I suggest you contact your supervisors and tell them how you feel.
So does that mean if the city wants to take over the infrastructure, that it would become a budget on item on the city budget?
Sure.
That's ridiculous.
Technology is going to leave them in mind. They've been talking about it for a year, and
they're still talking about it. That's
ridiculous. They should stay out of it. I don't want to get into anything. Well, you have. They're LAFCO is it has been at the forefront of asking directly the budget analyst to go and support.
It's the local area for FCL.
Who are they?
It's the Board of Supervisors, but, and my name's Alex, I work at the local consultant. They're the organization that Board of Supervisors has set themselves up to look at the potential municipalization of other utilities, like PG&E and other transmissions. I think we understand the frustration. This process has been going on for a long time. I think it's fair to say that the most avid discussion coming from the Board of Supervisors about the possibility of having the city run this network, even after a public bid process was put out there and Google and Earthlink each applied, decided to team up and won this bid, has been Supervisor McGolden. He's made it pretty clear that his preference would be that the city own and run the network. But there are studies yet to be done. We have district elections right now. Yes, Tony, where do you live? I'll tell you who your supervisor is. I'm guessing you already know. Give them a call. Whoever they are.
So if we get a
100
people to send an email to supervisors,
I would suggest phone calls are having been a supervisorial aide, three different members of the Board of Supervisors, because I have the reverse of the brain damage. I would suggest that a telephone call is better than an email. If you feel really strongly about this, I would encourage you to communicate with any member of the Board of Supervisors, because you know, they want to hear from their constituents.
Wait, those people don't have a log on their computer?
Jacob Holbert is a pretty smart guy.
So is his biggest concern the loss of potential revenue?
He wasn't here. He hasn't talked to me specifically about this, but from what I've been reading from what he's reading, he thinks that the best public good argument is to keep a utility like what we're discussing here, a service that we're discussing here, run by the city, because it is possible, certainly, that Google and Earthlink could be purchased by Satan's Friends Incorporated, who would then change the network into something else. If it's run by the city, Supervisor McGolden seems to say, it's always going to be run by a group of people. I wouldn't say that, but I think that you're probably getting the audience has some good ideas.
If it were purchased by an entity, then the whole thing.
I'm sure the negotiations, the negotiation process right now says the network, if it's built by these two organizations, has to do X and Y and Z and can't do A and B and C. So,
if we have a contract with the city that stipulates X, and if you were to be acquired, it will require us for them to do X.
Right.
They can't afford it, they're invalidating the contract.
Right. So that's sort of.
I encourage all of you to talk to the members of the Board of Supervisors and ask them for their position on this process.
Do you care about? Have this position in writing anymore?
Supervisor Goldberg?
Uh-huh.
Let me look and see if I can find a newspaper article or two. If you can't give me an email address, I will email you and do it from the back of the line. Because I don't have Wi-Fi, but I got a Sprint card.
If only there were a free Wi-Fi.
How long is the contract in the discussion?
That's actually on the website. The contract term initially is a usual term of 4 years, 3-4 year renewal. Every 4 years comes up for renewal.
So briefly, I'd like to invite Mike to talk a little bit about a volunteer for the Tech Connect, right, the task force here in the city about digital inclusion, digital access for all San Franciscans. And again, it's just one component of it. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about the larger effort as well.
Hi, thanks everyone. So as I've mentioned, I'm a volunteer on a citywide task force called the Digital Inclusion Tech Connect Task Force, something like that. And I'm one of 15 people who are volunteering to help advise the city on how to do what the lady just asked about, is how do you get hardware into people's homes? These guys are talking about the network, but once the network's up and running, then what? I think the question the city would have to address. And I think for the mayor's initial idea was that this would be a way to sort of bridge the digital divide and bring access to technology to a lot of families and people who don't have it. I don't know the data to say, but there was a study by a guy in Berkeley who showed that San Francisco, we're not as digitally savvy or digitally connected as we thought we were. There are a lot of families who don't have access. And that sort of speaks to your question about, so high school teachers the teachers can't assign homework assignments that they want to assign because their kid, they can't, there's no guarantee that the kids have access to the internet. So we've got to say, you know, okay, instead of doing this in 3 days, we'll give you 2 weeks, assuming that you can go to the library or the community center to get online. So, you know, nobody's really talking yet about how the school district's going to address it. But, you know, this is the first step. I think the network's going to take a year, 13, 14, 18 months, somebody had to build out. But in the meantime, our task force and others are talking about what it's going to mean. And we're looking for input from everybody in the city. We have monthly meetings. And everyone's open to come to it. They're pretty lonely meetings, so we don't have any people in the public coming, but you're all welcome to come.
We need a blog. Are you
home? I'm sorry?
We need a blog.
We have a website?
We need to do it on our web so that people don't have to go to a physical location and move the idea.
Very good point. So the city's actually put together a digital inclusion draft document. That's a 22-page document that sort of highlights how the city plans to get computers, training into people's homes. And that's on, you can go to sfgov.org tech deck, sort of in the bold section. There's a website that goes there. You'll find where our meetings are, our documents. You'll find this draft document where you can then email who would put the document together and give you your ideas.
You know, one of the things, I've been involved in a lot of projects. And one of the things that is really important when you're doing a deployment is you need to get your own documents. You need to view technology as you would to your audience. Like, so if you're having meetings, you should have online meetings. You shouldn't have to take meetings.
That's a good point. I'll bring it up in our next meeting. Or you can come wherever. Our next meeting is this Wednesday at City Hall. And our last meeting was talking about assistive technology, which are different devices that people use who have different disabilities. As we all start getting older, using a traditional mouse is not always going to work. A traditional keyboard is not always going to work. So how does the city make sure that people who have disabilities or different abilities can get onto the computer, get onto the network? So it's about, you know, getting monitors that are larger, or keyboards that are a non-traditional keyboard, or mice that are different shapes. So that's another thing we have to start talking about. You know, how does that happen? And nobody really knows, to be honest about that. But, you know, now is the time when we need to start coming up with ideas and strategies for that. About hardware, you know, I think talking about Goodwill has a program where you can buy a pretty good computer for $150 or $200 at most Goodwills. You drop off your monitors or your computers to them. They'll refurbish them and then sell them back to the community. Also, you want to find out, you know, how do we make this a sort of a workforce development opportunity where, you know, we train teenagers or youth from like Laguna Honda or from you know, Log Cabin Ranch or YGC to be computer technicians. So when they leave these places, they've got a job or a skill that can be turned into the community and also give them income. So those are just a few things. Our next meeting is going to be this meeting is at City Hall. From 5 to 7, and the address is at the bottom. And our January meeting is going to be focusing on small businesses.
Yes. Well, what is the subject of the meeting this month?
It's more, I think our goal is to sort of share with sort of people in the mayor's office. We're sharing sort of what we're doing as a task force with people in the mayor's office at City Hall. Uh-huh. But it's our regular monthly meeting that we're having down at City Hall just to let them know about what we're doing. But it's all of our meetings, they're all open to the public.
City Hall?
No, that meeting's just at City Hall. Our other meetings are in different community centers.
January
meeting is going to be in Bayview, Bayview Renaissance Center. And that address will be on the website also. Yes, ma'am.
How many meetings did you have with Japanese?
Zero. We're not meeting.
Is it just ongoing?
Our meetings are monthly meetings.
With him?
Not with him at all. We're a task force of 15 community people.
How is he being kept abreast of what's going on with the task force and the communities? Yep.
He's checking our website every night, I hope. there's an enormous...
Call him a name and you'll find out.
Yeah. The city has... The Department of Telecommunications Information Systems is sort of the IT department for the city. DDIS is sort of the short term. And a staff member from DDIS is sort of our chairman or our chairwoman who sort of staffs the meetings. And her job is sort of like feed it back to other members of the executive branch.
Is that Amy?
Yeah, exactly.
So we should provide feedback directly to Amy?
Exactly.
So she's the one.
What's her address?
It should be...
She's a paper that he passed out.
Thank you. So
And she, her address is not on there, but if you go to the website, you can find her address right there. There should be a contact us button.
So she's the one who's also keeping the
as much as she can, yeah. She's the one city employee who sort of focused on the digital divide, digital inclusion aspect of this initiative.
So why isn't the San Francisco Public Library in it as the list of your task force? Because they already have hubs around the city, right? They already have computers where people go to to get access, right? So why isn't the San Francisco Library on the task force?
I don't know. Maybe someone from the library did not apply. Back in, I think, April and May, there's an application process. And I don't know. That's a good point.
So who picked the task force?
People
have
I think, no, well, I think Emmy did from the city. And I'm sure you can talk to her more about how I was picked and how others were picked.
You are?
Michael McCarthy. And I've done community technology projects throughout the city for the past 5 years.
Okay.
Right now I'm working on a project in the Western Addition where we're setting up a wireless network at a housing project where we're going to provide free wireless access for 130 families at a housing authority unit and train teenagers who live there to also do tech support. Because one of the things is, you know, once you give someone a computer, it's kind of not fair not to give them tech support.
Now, that's a question I was going to ask, because with regards to technical support, if the city takes it over, are they going to provide technical support?
And user support?
And I don't
know. Support? Well, that's what I'm saying. This is something that I think many of us who have dealt with City Hall have realized that if they take it over, who's going to support this? They can't even get 911 going, more or less, or getting the police and the fire department talking to each other. I mean, it's ridiculous. So how do they, I mean, you could even ask Mr. McGolden, how is he going to support, who is he going to put there? Is it going to be available 24 hours? I mean, these are things that people like you, I would put my faith in the city, I'd say, geez, I wouldn't touch it with the
So I guess my opinion is I would rather Earthlink take the risk and any money the city has that they want to allocate for this due toward hardware and tech support and training for the schools, as opposed to maintaining and creating a network, use that money for like getting computers to people's homes, getting teachers up and trained, getting tech support to families in the different communities. That's where I think the money should go, as opposed to the network, which is going to be, you know, someone else's headache.
Very costly, very risky.
No, I understand.
But yeah,
you
I
guys
think
are not getting any audience with Gavin Newsom or the supervisors, you know, to espouse the opinion, well, why don't we focus on this, rather, and let them focus on it?
Well, I can't really speak for, like, what Emmy is, who's Emmy talking with. I know Emmy's talking
for why isn't he telling the people who on the floor what he's telling the other folks, right? There should be a two-way communication process.
I just want to point out that this gentleman, just like everybody else on Tech Connect, they're volunteers. They're showing up at, I think, most of the meetings we've had, all but I think one so far.
Yes,
they're doing lots of great work around the city. While appointed by people from the city, they're not responsible for what the mayor or the other elected officials do. They're simply there to help bring expertise in these areas to the city, which doesn't necessarily have it. So I just want to make sure you know this guy isn't responsible for
anything. We're saying that, you know, it's time.
I was
about
to draw, actually.
Yeah, we're not fronting you.
All I'm trying to do is point out to you how we feel.
Yeah.
Now, if I didn't express my concerns to you, how would you know?
You're sort of echoing a lot of what we've heard also.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So
I think people who come to meetings like this, I think you people are some early adopters. You're the people who hopefully will.
Phone campaign to the supervisor today. Get off your ass and make it happen.
Well, you guys are your own community leaders, so you're please just tell people about all this. And like, you know,
well,
right now, a lot of people will say, you know, I tell people about this, like, oh yeah, like, didn't Google already set that network up?
Isn't it already up and running?
Yeah, because, you know, the way the media works now is you read it a few times in the Chronicle or wherever, you're like, oh, it's done. It was a big process. So please, come to our meetings, email us, and pay for them.
And bring up Brett to what earlier you said. Oh, no, it's not. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people came out. Each of you represent 10,000 people. 10,000 people. And that's just 60,000, right? In the city. Yes. Half a million, 600,000. Maybe you represent 100,000 individually. I mean, you are ambassador. I mean, you took the effort. You made the effort to come out tonight. You could have been watching like Monday Night Football or something. I don't know. Or,
yeah, I'm missing the summer.
Whatever. No, you made the effort. So your opinion, you're speaking for us 100,000 people in
the city. Spread the word.
It's important that you voice your concerns. You pose the questions to elected officials. You may support them, you may not support them. That's beyond the scope of this meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so we'll wrap up with. Did you have something like that? Okay. So Alex might have a few words right at the end, but Mike, first of all, thank you. And I want to thank all of you for coming, for your ideas, for your questions. We do encourage you to stay in touch with us and your supervisor. What you say will make a difference, I'm quite sure, whatever your opinion. And again, thanks so much for joining us tomorrow.
We have two more meetings on Wednesday and Thursday this week. If you have friends or colleagues who would be interested in attending them, you can go to our website, which is up on the screen, and see them. And if you have friends or roommates or husbands or wives or cats or dogs at home, please go get a plate of food and take it with you. We're going to be donating it to the church otherwise, but please eat the sandwiches. They're yummy, they're from specialties.
What is going to turn out of fire?
Anywhere from, Leslie, what would we say, 6 to 25 people?
That's right.
Yeah.
First meeting.
Where? Baby.
Yeah. And how are we getting word out?
Yeah.
We are doing community outreach. Who is this? This is Leslie.
Most of our outreach, we've won a whole Let's See media campaign. We've been on the streets kind of school. We hire high school students that work for Dallas for Youth to issue new flyers. And we have come to contact as many neighborhoods as we can and all the local papers that we can. Even the neighborhood ones we put in the calendar section. We've been trying to do our last couple months. I sent out a lot of emails. Some of them have been bounced back. I guess SF neighborhoods document that I have on all of them. But just making calls to, every neighborhood that's taking, we have listed about the city emails. And just kind of spreading the word to the supervisors, telling them and having them hopefully blast it to their constituents.
Okay, so your name and your item.
Oh, yes, you are important. You can enter you to me if you want to. She's half the boss at the other place.
Okay.
I'm the boss at the other place.
So you're responsible for...
It's a big team effort.
Yeah. Okay.
A team effort with a football.
All right. Thank you.
Barbara Rose and Sanger, so Google is a consultant from the how Google and I are playing and thinking about the outreach and about this problem.
Finally here tonight and have been helping us a lot.
One last technical one. How much does each individual know with big energy drain and with solar or with how
I'm sorry,
that each individual knows how much energy is.
So it uses the power from the lead force in most cases, it does require some power. Do you know how much power it actually
1 watt.
So it's extremely small.
Yeah, it's less than a light bulb.
You won't even know it's the beginning.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I didn't know that I'm so not with the whole. I'm the whole.